And I remember we had a number of clients coming into 2009, 2010, and 11 who didn't pay capital gains tax for quite a few years because of that tax loss harvesting. So that's always a good strategy.
All right, let's do this. Hey, gang. Bill Sheridan here. This is Future Proof, episode number 101, to be exact. How's it going? How's your reopening plan going? Are you back in the office yet? Still at home? I guess it depends on where you are, right? Some states, heck, some countries for that matter, are reopening at different rates, different phases than others. What's your comfort level at this point? Are you ready to race out the door? Not quite there yet. The Maryland Association of CPAs, the folks that I work for, we've been surveying members over the past few weeks. We've been holding weekly COVID-19 updates for our members, and we've been asking folks, you know, how they feel about going back to the office. Still seems like there's a lot of reluctance out there, although more people seem ready to roll than when we first started doing these surveys, for whatever that means. Wherever you stand, folks, let's do this safely. We've got to get back to work at some point, but let's be safe and responsible about it at the same time. Keep that distance, wear that mask, follow the rules. Please do us all that favor. Do yourself that favor. Let's be good to ourselves and each other, shall we? Okay. Hey, quick reminder, this week's show is brought to you by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses, dozens of instructors, and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So this week, let's talk about money. Let's talk about your money specifically. Let's talk about personal finance for a little bit. You know, this pandemic hit and almost immediately the markets started tanking. Remember that back in March? Remember how volatile the markets were at the beginning of this crisis? Things have settled down a bit since then, but the crisis has been, it's been a good reminder that Wall Street just doesn't have a sense of humor about stuff like this, right? And that raises the question, what should we be doing with our money, with our investments, when things are as touchy as they've been lately? Lots of advice out there, lots of advice, some of it good, some of it a little sketchy, depends on who you ask, I guess. And what your situation is, here's something I didn't consider. It comes from a personal finance blogger named Amanda Grossman. She was quoted in a CNBC article. That article was called, "These Aren't Normal Times. You Still Need a Financial Plan for the Pandemic." In general, some pretty good financial advice is to pay off your debt, right? That seems to be the go-to kind of stuff. We hear that all the time. In a crisis like this, though, Grossman says you might not want to do that, especially if your money's tight. Probably better to make minimum payments for the time being so you can keep paying your bills. You know, a lot of people think 5 or 10 years down the road when it comes to their money. In times like this, Grossman says thinking about the next 6 months probably makes more immediate sense. Again, depends on your personal situation, but financial advice, it can change in a crisis, right? And there are some other things to be thinking about during a crisis like this as well. Your retirement savings, for instance, a recent Market Watch article, Ron Long was featured in it, and he says that you might want to work with a financial advisor to stress test your retirement plan by considering long-term needs that may require significant funds or to building cash reserves for unforeseen expenses. This includes considering worst-case scenarios such as market tumult and significant medical expenses, and now global pandemics are thrown into the mix, right? Other things to think about, are your legal documents in order? Ron Long, again, he says the power of your estate planning documents really rings true now more than ever. Have you assigned someone power of attorney or written a medical advance directive? Protective measures. How are you protecting yourself against scammers selling fake vaccines or crooks with bogus investment opportunities? Maybe it's time to talk to your financial institution to see how they might be able to help you and protect you. So yeah, just a lot of stuff to think about out there. And that's why I wanted to sit down this week with Lyle Benson. I've talked to Lyle before. Lyle is president of LK Benson and Company in Baltimore. He's an MACPA member. He's also on the forefront of advancing planning services for individuals within the profession. He served on the AICPA's Personal Financial Planning Division Executive Committee and the National Accreditation Committee and the Baltimore Association for Financial Planning. So, and he's also chair of the Media Task Force of the AICPA's PFP section. So in short, Lyle knows his stuff. And he and I jumped on a Zoom call recently because that's how all conversations take place nowadays. And we talked about, lots of stuff, right? We need to be considering right now. Things like cash on hand and investments and estate planning and financial planning, especially as it relates to chaotic times like this, because our thinking about these types of things tends to change in times of crisis. So, no time like the present. The present, actually. The president. You can talk about the president if you want, but I'd rather leave that to other people. So no time like the present. Let's get that out there to be thinking about our financial well-being. So let's do that. Good stuff here, folks. Pull up a chair, take a listen to my conversation this week with Lyle Benson. So Lyle, thanks for joining me today. I guess, and my first question is it's like my first question that I ask pretty much everybody these days. How you doing? How are you holding up amid all this this craziness?
Yeah, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. We're all healthy. Our family's all healthy. That's the most important thing. Our firm, all of our staff is doing well, working remotely and adapting to the new normal very well. So hard to complain about things.
Yeah, good to hear. Good to hear. Things have been pretty crazy for the past couple of months. And one of the areas in which they have been, craziest for a while has been the stock market. I mean, we dropped into a bear market unbelievably fast and almost just as fast. We kind of rebounded into a bull market. It's been kind of head spinning for a while. And as of today, the day we're recording, this interview anyway, we've stabilized a bit, but these are truly unprecedented times, and I don't think any of us have seen anything remotely like this, really, in our lifetimes. People are trying to predict, when the economy is going to bounce back, when things are going to get back to normal. So I guess my first question is from a personal finance perspective, what should we be telling our clients at this point?
Yeah, so I think you raise really good points there, Bill. And I think focusing on the investment area, let's just talk about that first. We've been through bear markets before, obviously, with clients. The 08, 09 Great Recession really is what kind of came to the forefront right away as we started to go through this downturn. I think the challenging part is that this, while each recession certainly feels different, this one is unique in that it was triggered by a health event, obviously, and now has evolved into an economic problem as well. That seems like it's going to have a pretty long time period. Whenever we go through this kind of a market, this kind of market volatility, we always try to bring clients back to the basics. We try to get them to focus on, the fact that what they're hearing in the news and the financial pornography, if you will, that's out there is the market's doing this, the market's doing that. It's up 10% one day, down 10% the next day. Step away from that and think about and really look at your own situation and put it in perspective because, number one, most clients don't have 100% of their investments in stocks. Number two, do you have enough cash reserves to be able to make it through a time period that's reasonable so that you don't need to tap into investments in the stocks when stocks go down? And make sure your asset allocation makes sense based on your goals and your risk tolerance. I think those foundational questions are such an important part of overall financial planning and especially important when the volatility in the stock markets drives you crazy.
And I think you brought up a good point that there's so many people out there trying to predict, how long is this going to last? Is this going to drop us, is this a recession? Is it going to devolve into a depression? And if so, how long? And I mean, you can really get caught up in all of that kind of, you know, trying to predict what's going to happen in the future. What should we be paying attention to any of that? Or should we be just kind of like, you know, ignoring what the talking heads are saying and just kind of focus on where we need to be and where we want to be?
I think it's important in times like these to identify what you can control and what you can't control. And we can't control the markets. We don't. And no one knows what's going to happen in the short term in the markets. And short term could easily roll into longer term as well. So focus on what you can control rather than the things you can't control. And again, don't get caught up. You know, a lot of people, you know, do some of the basic planning that you can do. There are some things, steps you can take from an investment standpoint to add value, if you will, but don't go overboard and don't get caught up in the emotions of what's going on, as hard as that is to do. That's generally the best advice to take in times like these, especially when we see such a quick downturn, as you mentioned, and then such a quick swing back up, the strongest week in the market in, what, 46 years a week or so ago. So, you know, that those kind of swings can drive you crazy if you don't stay focused on the long term.
So in terms of those things that we can control, I mean, you wrote an article recently in which you broke this down a little bit into categories, I guess. So let's talk a little bit about some of those categories. I mean, first of all, one of the things that I thought was interesting was your insights on cash on hand. What kind of advice would you offer regarding, you know, cash at this point, cash flow?
Yeah, that's obviously that's a critical piece, and especially for folks who have lost their jobs or have the risk of losing their jobs in another wave of downsizing that may happen as a result of this. You know, it's always great to keep cash reserves of 3 to 6 months to cover basic living expenses, and that's really critical. And if you got a federal stimulus check, maybe that helps to catch you up or gives you some of that reserve to get you where you need to be. If you're retired and you're living off your investment income, we generally like to see clients have 2 to 3 years worth of living expenses in cash or some other liquid investments that they can get to and not have to tap into the stock part of a portfolio. And knowing your tax picture is an important part of the tax of the cash flow situation too. While it's great, and we certainly breathe a sigh of relief when the tax deadlines generally got extended to July 15th, it's important if you've got a refund coming, go ahead and get that return filed now. Why wait? If you can't file yet or you owe money, then you're going to want to wait until July, obviously, to do that because that helps cash flow as well. But, you know, those are some steps you can take. And understanding your overall expense picture is another aspect. We've talked to a couple of clients in the last week about their overall financial planning situation, and you know, the clients whose expense levels were probably higher than they should be to reach their long-term goals. And all of a sudden, they've realized that their expenses are a lot lower when they're not going out to eat. They can't really go out somewhere to shop and they're staying home. So maybe they trim out some of those expenses that are in that normal budget that aren't that important to them anymore.
Well, that's kind of an interesting point because, you know, I mean, I was just thinking about this today that... I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago when I told my wife I was going to go out to fill up the car just in case, you know, we needed a full gas tank at some point down the road. And I can't remember the last time I drove my car, you know, I mean, in this type of environment, there are certain things that we used to do quite frequently every day that we're not doing anymore. Driving the car, going to the store to pick up, you know, one or two things here or there. I mean, it seems like we're at a point now where cutting back on certain expenses not only makes sense but might be kind of easy at this point.
Exactly. I think it gives you a different perspective. And I've talked to a couple of clients who are thinking about what's most important to them and maybe some of those things they ran around to do or spent time and energy on aren't as important anymore in the scheme of things. And maybe they're thinking in the future, their lifestyle might change a little bit as a result of that. And that could have an impact on their expenses and an impact on their financial planning as well.
Do you think this is going to have an impact, you know, once we emerge on the other side of this and we kind of walk into a post COVID-19 world. I mean, is the way that we live our lives and the way that we approach our finances going to change, do you think, because of some of this stuff?
I think it could. I think in a lot of situations it might, because I think a lot of people are thinking long and hard about what is important to them, and are they doing the things in their lives that they want to, kind of going through a life planning exercise, if you will, of really reassessing everything they do. You know, one of the things I'm thinking about is I belong to a gym, and I'm diligent about going to the gym every day, and I've got a setup in my home where I can do essentially everything I do at the gym. Why am I spending $100 a month to belong to a gym when I can do it at home? Mm-hmm. So things like that. And I think more people will find that they can work remotely. You know, those that have jobs and professions where they can work remotely, maybe that is something they do on more of a regular basis than they've done in the past, just to simplify their life and not have that commute in the office and the time that may get lost in the process. So I think all of that could come into play from a financial planning standpoint.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all boils out. You mentioned a few minutes ago investments. What should we be thinking about at this point when it comes to investment planning?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things we've been doing for clients over the last month. Tax loss harvesting is one of those. It's a really good strategy. And I remember back in 08 and 09, how great it was to have clients that had accumulated some significant capital losses in that downturn. We captured those losses. We waited the 30 days to reinvest, or reinvested in a similar but not like kind fund investment to capture that loss. And, you know, we accumulated capital losses that in many cases were higher than their capital gains. So we had carry forwards for future years. And I remember we had a number of clients coming into 2009, 2010, and 11 who didn't pay capital gains tax for quite a few years because of that tax loss harvesting. So that's always a good strategy. Another strategy is we have a lot of clients that have concentrated stock positions, either from their employers they worked for, or stocks they inherited or were gifted, you know, decades ago, that have very low cost basis, and they've always been reluctant to trim those stocks. You know, now when those stocks are down significantly, there's a lot less capital gains tax to pay. And maybe that's a good time to take some steps on those concentrated positions and get the portfolio more in line with where you want it to be. And then also rebalancing. You know, you constantly want to look at where you are versus your target allocation and make sure that you're in line in terms of the stock allocation. And that can get tricky in a quick moving market like we've seen in these last couple of weeks. You know, you don't want to rebalance and then have everything come back up and you have to rebalance again. So we've been a little hesitant to pull the trigger on that, but that's something that people should keep in mind and know what their current allocation is versus their target.
Right. Let's shift a little bit to estate planning. What kind of things should we be thinking about when it comes to estate planning?
Well, one of the general things that everybody should be thinking about when we go through a health issue, health crisis like this is, you know, are your estate documents up to date? Are your beneficiary designations the way you want them to be as far as your overall plan? You know, nobody knows when they're going to get sick or when they're going to die. And anytime we go through something like this, you just want to make sure that's all current, number one. Mm-hmm. For our higher net worth clients that are still in an estate tax, federal estate taxable situation. So right now, the federal estate tax exemption is $11.5 million. Maryland's is lower at $5 million, and many states have much lower levels as well, those that have estate taxes, state estate taxes. But for those clients that are over that, this is a sort of a perfect storm for them. You've got decreased values of assets, so you can shift wealth to the next generation without as much, you know, gift tax implications today and get that future appreciation out to the next generation. You can do it in an environment where interest rates are incredibly low. The IRS short-term rates down around 0.5% now, I believe. Wow. So we've got clients doing things like grantor retained annuity trust, GRATs. You know, if you put money into a GRAT, as long as the investment grows at a greater rate than the IRS hurdle rate, you shift wealth to the next generation, gift and estate tax free. We've got clients doing regular outright gifting to fund money to the next generation and or through a family partnership or things like that. Interfamily loans are always a good idea. And we've had a couple clients ask about helping young adult children out who are going through a tougher time maybe than they are because they've lost their job or, you know, their financial situation is a little more precarious. You know, helping them out with a short term or a loan of any kind at the AFR rates is a very low rate and a great way to shift some wealth among family members. So those are the kind of strategies. I think there are some real opportunities, and we've got a number of clients that we're working through some of these strategies with now.
Yeah. And finally, the big one, our financial plans. And I don't know what you think. I'm thinking advice here will differ depending on, our ages and where we are in our lives and our jobs. Any kind of general best advice that you might be able to offer here?
Yeah, I think when the dust settles, when we get back to normal or whatever new normal might look like, I think reassessing your financial plan is going to be an important step in the process, making sure you know where you stand, making sure you have projected out towards retirement and assuming you're still working and moving towards a retirement goal. Are those goals still what you want to achieve? Is there anything you can do to fine tune your plan now going forward? And then we have to really see where the investment world ends up too. We've got a ways to go before this health crisis is over, obviously, and before we're back to any sort of normal. And I think the investment markets could see a lot more volatility in that time. So it's sort of hard to say, well, here's where we are now, not so bad, but things could get worse from an investment standpoint. So I think it's just a reassessment process, and I would imagine we'll spend a lot of time with clients in the coming months, kind of reassessing where they are from an overall planning standpoint.
So Lyle, for folks who are retired, what kind of a planning advice might you offer at a time like this?
Well, I think one of the planning strategies that folks that are retired and over the age of taking their required minimum distributions from their IRAs, a planning strategy there is that the IRS has suspended RMDs, required minimum distributions, for this year. So if you haven't taken it yet, and if you don't need it for cash flow purposes, then I think it probably makes sense to defer taking that rather than pay tax on that this year and let that stay in the retirement accounts, let it recover with the markets, and let it continue to grow. A lot of our retired clients also are funding 529 plan contributions for their grandchildren. And that's an important goal for them as college costs keep going up. So, doing that, putting money in there when the markets are down probably makes even more sense. So rather than waiting until the end of the year to do that, maybe doing that sooner in a downturn in the market is a good idea from an overall strategy standpoint. So those are two things that I think folks that are retired may want to think about.
I mean, is there some silver lining in here, Lyle, in the fact that, before we kind of went down this coronavirus hole, the economy, the markets anyway, seem to be in pretty solid shape. I mean, is that something that we can look at and say, once we get out of this, maybe we can rebound a little bit faster than we would otherwise?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the tough part was we've spent the last couple years up until, March of this year, telling clients, we've had an 11-year run, a strong run on the stock market. We've never gone a decade before like this past decade without a recession. This was coming. We knew it was coming. We certainly didn't know it was going to be triggered by a black swan event like the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. But that's, we were constantly rebalancing, constantly trimming stock exposure for clients, getting them back to their target allocations that made sense, and constantly making sure they were being realistic in their overall plans. And, when we do financial planning, we go through a Monte Carlo analysis, and that looks at the impact of bear markets. That's factored into those return sequences that we look at. And, reminding clients that this is something that we expected. We knew we would go through bear markets. We don't know how bad it'll be. We don't know where we'll end up on it. But, it's not something that's not part of the planning that we do when we go through that asset sufficiency analysis, if you will.
If you had to, boil all of this down into, one soundbite or bit of advice for us when it comes to financial planning in a chaotic world like this, what would it be?
I think it really is focus on what you can control. Take the steps that you can and don't spend a lot of time worrying about the things you can't control that are out of your control. And if you can do that, I think you'll continue to take some steps that move you in a good direction while still looking at the overall picture and not losing sight of the long-term picture. But, doing some of these little things like doing a Roth conversion. If your IRA is way down in value, maybe you want to convert some to a Roth. Little things like that you can add in, do the things like that you can control and focus on the bigger picture as time evolves.
Well, Lyle, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for your insights and your kind of calming advice. I know this can be kind of a jittery time for a lot of folks as they watch what's going on. So it's nice to hear some guidance that says, you know, don't panic, but stay focused on your end goal. So I appreciate you being here and offering us some of that guidance. Thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Glad to be part of it. Anytime. Take care.
Great stuff there from Lyle Benson. He's president of LK Benson & Company in Baltimore. If you're looking for more resources to help you kind of future-proof your services to individuals, you could start by visiting the AICPA's Planning and Tax Advisory Services page. It integrates personal financial planning and tax content to help tie all of this stuff together. You're going to find that at aicpa.org/grow-advisory-services. You will also find lots of help in the MACPA's CPE catalog. There's plenty to learn there about tax reform and estate planning and financial planning and anything else you need to brush up on. You can get started by visiting macpa.org/learning. Keep an eye out there also for any COVID-19 updates that we might be offering. We had been offering them weekly. There just seemed to be so much stuff going on that we had to do these updates weekly. We've kind of cut back a little bit, but we're still offering COVID-19 updates as developments warrant. So keep an eye out for those. Also, don't forget this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's all I got for you, folks. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.